Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and members of the New York City Council, as well as homelessness advocates, are up in arms about a study that is denying certain homeless families some services. 400 families who faced homelessness were enrolled in an experiment between June and September of this year. Half the test group were given access to one of the city's programs designed to prevent homelessness. The other half were denied assistance from the program, with researchers tracking them to see if they ended up homeless. The city's Department of Homeless Services says the study was necessary to determine whether a $23 million program to prevent homelessness called Home Base was actually working. But some groups, such as the Coalition for the Homeless, say the study is unethical and cruel. Later, I'll talk to Patrick Markey of the Coalition, but first I'm joined by Seth Diamond, Commissioner for the New York City Department of Homeless Services. Commissioner, thanks so much for coming on. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Did I explain the basic facts of the situation right? And then what would you say about the ethical considerations?
Well, this is a study that we think is very important to determining the proper way to deliver prevention services. Prevention is an area where everyone who has worked in the homelessness field agrees we should look at. We should try and invest more resources. The president has called for greater investment in this area, but I think there are some real questions about how to do it and what's the best way to do it. And so we're trying to study that to get at the bright mix of services to understand if it's a good investment of taxpayer dollars. And we're doing it in the most responsible way possible. We're using a company that is a leader in the field. We're using a research methodology that's been endorsed not only by this company that's doing work for the Obama administration, but by researchers from the University of Pennsylvania and by Columbia and Vanderbilt and other places. And we're doing it in a very responsible way, not just to the taxpayers, but to the people that are enrolled in the system.
I gather that a mayor's management report released this summer found that over 90% of families that received help from Homebase did not end up in homeless shelters. So why wasn't that enough of a sign of success of the program to just offer it to everybody?
Well, that's one side of the analysis. It says that people who come to Homebase are effectively remain in the community and do not access shelter services. But the question we're trying to answer is different. This question is, what if Homebase didn't exist? Now, it may seem obvious to people that if Homebase didn't exist, the shelter system would grow because there wouldn't be prevention services. But in fact, that isn't an easy question, and it's one where there is a lot of debate. Some people would say if there were no Homebase services, people would find other methods to avoid coming to the shelter system, and therefore Homebase has little value. Other people would say, well, of course, having prevention services work. They keep people out of shelter and in the community. That's precisely the question we're trying to answer. And it is a question that researchers looking in this area have concluded there is no other way to answer except for having the kind of study that we are embarking on.
And so how did the results of this study turn out?
Well, we're just in the early phases, and in fact, that's one of the great shames, that some people would have us abandon this at a point when we're just beginning before we know the critical information, and that information offers the promise of allowing us to deliver services in a much better, more humane way that will more effectively serve people and will save taxpayer dollars.
So even here, as the winter approaches, you're denying some services to families on the brink of homelessness.
Well, I don't think that saying that we're denying services is the right way to characterize it. Families have access to a range of services in the community by not-for-profit providers that have a long investment in serving families on the brink of homelessness. Plus, there are other governmental resources available to families, those resources that the Department of Homeless Services offers, plus other well-known governmental agencies like the Human Resources Administration, which has a very large budget for providing at-risk services to at-risk individuals. So there are services available in the community.
There are an estimated 37,000 homeless people in New York City. And I guess this doesn't go down as one of the promises that Mayor Bloomberg has been able to keep. He pledged in 2004 to cut the city's homeless population to about 14,000 people in 5 years. Is it simply that the downturn in the economy and to the the degree that we've seen the downturn was unexpected, or are there other obstacles out there that were tougher than you expected?
Well, we have had a recent decline in the number of people in the shelter system, the number of children. There are 2,000 fewer children in the shelter system today than there were a year ago. And the commitment that the mayor has made to reducing homelessness has led to tremendous results. We have a much better, more humane system. I think everyone involved in the system would agree with that, that there have been tremendous strides in terms of having a better process, a more efficient process. You don't see the headlines of people sleeping in the intake offices for days on end as you used to do. You have a much broader range of providers who provide excellent services throughout the city. All those are as a result of the commitment that the mayor made to reduce the number of people in the city shelters. We didn't get the reduction that we wanted in the time frame that we wanted, but we're certainly on the right track, and we have a system that we can be proud of is delivering humane services, is delivering good services, and is helping people get back to the community.
Well, it's always one of the toughest jobs in city government. Seth Diamond, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Homeless Services, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good day.
And we'll briefly get another view now from Patrick Markey, Senior Policy Analyst at the advocacy group, the Coalition for the Homeless. Patrick, thank you for coming on today.
Good morning, Brian, and thanks for having me on the program.
So you heard his explanation about this program and how if you're really going to know if this is worth the investment over the long term, you have to have a control group. In the meantime, they'll be getting other kinds of preventive services, and so this is not cruel and unusual. What's your reaction?
Well, I think, first of all, nobody disagrees that you have to evaluate government programs and evaluate their success. It begs the question why a program that's nearly 7 years old is now undergoing that study. But leaving that point aside, there's no question at all that the families that were enrolled in this study were not giving informed consent. The city officials, Commissioner Diamond, and the researchers have been using terms like voluntary, using terms like consent. But here's what really happened. These families walked into a homelessness prevention office when they were on the brink of eviction, about to lose their homes with their children and all their belongings. And they were told they could not get help unless they signed a consent form. And even then, there would be a 50-50 chance that they would get services. The 200 families that ended up in the control group were denied services for 2 years and were told that even if they opt out of the study, they will not get the services that they need. In effect, those families were lost. We're not going to get help the second that they walked into that office. There's no way that anybody can call that voluntary. There's no way anybody can call that informed consent.
Has your group heard of anyone actually becoming homeless, an individual you could point to as a result of being in the control group in that study?
We actually don't know, and city officials and researchers were asked about it at the council hearing last week, and they said it's too soon to tell. We were able, fortunately, with some of our resources and some funds from the city council to help one of the families that was mentioned in the New York Times article from last week, Ms. Almodovar and her children. But that's only because, you know, we were able to find out about her situation, and with our limited resources, we were able to help her. But there are not enough resources out in the community. Groups like Coalition for the Homeless that do eviction prevention services routinely have to turn people in need away because we don't have enough funding, we don't have enough resources, particularly in these tough economic times. So it's not fair to say that there was help out in the community for these families. When they were turned away from a critical service.
And your larger assessment of the Bloomberg administration's record on this, at this point, we heard at the end Commissioner Diamond say, this is a better, more humane system than it's ever been. You don't have people sleeping in the intake offices for nights on end, et cetera.
Well, I have to say, you know, I was a little troubled that the commissioner said that they're on the right track, because if this is the right track, I'd hate to see what the wrong track looks like. We have more than 38,000 people, including 16,000 children, bedding down in city shelters each night. In the past year, we saw record numbers of homeless families, the highest number since modern homelessness began. We're on track to be approaching 40,000 people a night in city shelters. Keep in mind, in the 1980s, the peak was 28,000 people a night. When Mayor Bloomberg took office, there were a little more than 30,000 people a night in shelters, and we're very close to 40,000 people a night. This is a historic problem, and keep in mind, this is a problem that was bad even before the economic recession. And it's really a fundamentally because of the flaws and the failures of the administration's approach. They refuse to address the housing affordability needs of homeless families and the supportive housing needs of individuals living with mental illness and other disabilities.
Patrick Markey, Senior Policy Analyst at the Coalition for the Homeless. We heard earlier from the Homeless Services Commissioner Seth Diamond. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will go live to the No Labels Movement launch at Columbia University. Are you ready for a moveon.org for the middle, as one of the organizers calls it. Stay with us, and we'll start to take your calls on whether this is a good thing. Does America need a forceful centrist political movement? Stay tuned.